This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. District Council 37 is the city's largest union of public employees. We've got 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. This show is on Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. You can also download us from the website, www.dc37.net. And you can also, we're now a podcast available on iTunes. Simply search DC37 State of the Union on your podcast app, and there we are. And tonight we've got a couple of very interesting, good guests. Sean Francois is the president of Local 372. And later on in the show, New York State AFL-CIO President Mario Salento will be joining us. But right now, Sean Francois is on the line. Mr. President, how are you, sir?
Oh, yes, good. How you doing? Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
It is always a pleasure to have you on the show. You are. We are taping this on Thursday morning. The show airs on Sunday evening. Today, Thursday, is an important day. You are going to be on the steps of City Hall, along with your members and elected officials, pushing for a piece of state legislation that will allow your members at the DOE to be automatically enrolled in the pension system when they are hired.
Absolutely.
Currently, part-time, temporary, or temporary employees are not required to take a civil service exam, though they are eligible for membership in the Board of Education retirement system, and they do not get automatic enrollment in the pension system. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
And tell us why this is so important.
Well, let me say this to you, Chris. Understand this. First of all, if you're unaware of it, a lot of times you come in, the first thing they do is put you down, fill all these paperwork out, and all this stuff for you to fill out. A lot of times, those paperwork might have other things in it, like BRRRS, which is the retirement system, to fill out. You're unaware that you got to fill these things out. A lot of times, the members think they're paying their dues, automatically paying their pension. A lot of members think they're just automatically getting the job is paying their pension. So the sad thing about it, Chris, is that some members have been calling my office, working 15 to 20 years, getting ready to retire. They believe they have a nest egg. They believe they saved some savings for their retirement in their golden years, just to come to find out that they didn't even roll in the pension.
That's unbelievable. Oh, that's awful.
That is sad.
Oh, that's sad. Absolutely.
You can't buy back because there's no years in front of you to buy back all that time, and it's very expensive to do that. So with this bill that we're pushing here for legislation is to have automatic enrollment like the competitive titles have. We need it as well. It's very important to us as well to be automatically enrolled in the pension. And then if you want to opt out, you can do so within 90 days. So you're not obligated as well. But understand, Chris, sometimes people, you get a job, you think you're going to work 1 or 2 years, and you're going to leave the job.
Right.
But a lot of times that doesn't happen because of the way life is, the way poverty is, and that's the way we have to live. Sometimes that job you did 3, 4, 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, and then you know you did for 20, 25 years.
And sometimes the paperwork you didn't do at the beginning, and Lord knows I have been through enough jobs in my life where I have not paid attention to the paperwork that I was supposed to fill out to get involved in this or that or the other, simply because, you know, I came to work. I have a job. I'm just coming to work, and I'm assuming that things are being taken care of that have not been taken care of unless I take the step. This legislation would eliminate that problem or that possibility of mistake.
Absolutely, for sure. It's very important. It's a good bill. It's a positive bill. It's something that I think New York City should adhere to, as far as listening to the calls and the cries of these members that need this bill to be automatically enrolled. It's a fair thing to do. It's a fair thing to do.
And this bill has been introduced in the state legislature. Is that correct?
Actually, yes, it has been introduced on assembly. Actually, and also on assembly, and also there's a bill from the assembly and the senator. There's a bill also, and it has been introduced, and we're pushing it through, so it can be on the floor. Absolutely.
And Sean, how many members are we talking about approximately affected by this?
First of all, we want all our members to have automatic enrollment, but the ones that are affected, you're talking about like 6,500. that's affected.
It's right thousands now. Of people.
That's yes, you got a lot of people that's affected by that. They need to enroll in that because it's for their livelihood. I mean, you know, it's for their future endeavors. You know, for the nest egg and for their legacy going forward. You know, it's just crazy that to work all those years to have nothing to fall back on. That's crazy. You can't get another job at 55, 50 years old at that time. You can't do things at that age, at that time. There's nothing you can do to concrete any type of foundation for you going further after that.
And there's really no contract.
You have that foundation being covered already. Right. All those years and years and years, you thought money was going into a fund for you.
Right, right.
It's crazy. It's very saddening. I think it's something that needs to be pushed. And so that's why today I'm going to be on City Hall, letting the city of New York know that the movement of this bill is very important. Especially not only to my members, but to everybody abroad who works for the city of New York.
And there seems to be a little controversy in this because if you want to opt out, you have the opportunity to opt out, correct?
Absolutely.
But this protects you so that you know from the beginning that you are that you can be eligible to be in the pension system.
Well, absolutely. That's a fair game. I mean, come on, let's have one playing field, Chris. If non-competitive titles have it, why can't non-competitive titles have it? I don't understand the difference in the importance of the job structure. We all work for the city of New York. We all make New York run and move. So I believe that is an important bill that cities should adhere to and make sure that it happens.
You have also been at the forefront of another movement involving the schools, the push for universal free school lunch. And this is an issue that I know that you and your members have been fighting for some time. This is now part of the city budget negotiations. We were talking about this on a recent show with Liz Ackles, who is also involved in the fight. Tell us about, I was very moved at the press conference that was at City Hall recently, in which you talked about having worked in school kitchens and having dealt with kids who were hungry.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Let me say it to you, Chris. It's saddening also. This is another saddening story that I got to say. I'm sorry, that's all the saddening news that has to come out. But when you're working in the kitchen environment of children, and a child comes to your line and he's hungry, even though, yes, I gave him something to eat already, but the child is still hungry. You can tell he's hungry. And the rules and regs does tell you that you cannot feed that child again. It's very saddening to me, heartful to me to know that that child is hungry for me not to feed him. Chris, let me say this to you. I fed that child. I will feed any child that I know is hungry, and I will jeopardize my job doing that. Okay, because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
And providing universal free school lunch for all public school children would take away any controversy around this. This would simply say that all kids can have lunch.
Exactly.
And it doesn't.
A stigma. There's a stigma problem. There's a problem of children feeling outcasted. You feel underneath everybody else. You don't feel you belong. So it starts a whole pattern of mental problems within that child at an early stage.
And
we need to make sure that these kids are fed. First of all, Chris, if you're in the classroom and you're hungry, you're not going to worry about 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
You're going to worry about bread equal meat equal fed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That's what you're going to worry about at that time. You want to eat. So your mindset is going to be idle to the fact that you're not going to learn what the teacher is teaching. So you wish it to unfold. So food is important for the body, for nutrients, for you to learn in the classroom. It's a whole 360-degree sector that needs to play a role in education.
And
food is part of it.
And as you said, you just brought up the role of stigma in all this. As when you are a kid and you are being singled out as a free lunch kid, that has an incredible impact on the way you feel about yourself and about your performance in the school, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
And
the thing about society too, Chris, you have 5 smaller cities than New York City that has universal lunch feeding. Now, they can find their budget to do that. I'm sure the big budget that we have, we can find our budget to do the same thing as well. That is crazy. You know, it makes no sense. When we have the free breakfast, and we have the universal feeding up to, like, the middle schools. So we still have thousands and thousands more that needs to be fulfilled with that program. I think we can get it done. The money's in the budget. Mayor Bellagio in 2013 pledged for this. This was his campaign pledge.
So this is something that we're holding him to, and we're hoping that we can get this done in the budget this summer, correct?
Exactly, for sure. We're pushing hard for it. I got my team, my local 372, DC 37, UFT, all other elected officials. You have so many people on this movement that I think we're positive and optimistic we get it done.
We're talking with local 372 President Sean DeFrancois I. You just mentioned Mayor de Blasio. I think it's interesting that there has been, you know, after 20 years of mayors who did not really have the interest of working folks at the top of their list. We've been working with Mayor de Blasio now for the past few years, and I think good things have happened as a result for your members and other DC 37 members, correct?
Yes. Sure, absolutely.
So talk about some of the things. We only have a couple of minutes left, but let's talk about some of the things that have taken place in the past couple of years.
Let me just touch real quick on this. This is, I got to really hurry up because this is going, it's a lot that got truncated very quickly because a lot has happened in the last 2.5 years of this administration. Real quick, we were able to restore a retirement benefit fund that was depleting. Retirements would not have had no retirement benefits at all if I wasn't able to be my team. Were then able to restore the benefits that was depleting for this fund,
and that was for the spouses of retirees, correct, or the family members?
The spouses back on because we had to take them off because to save the fund, so the fund can build stronger until we were able to get it back on. But we were able to allocate and legislate some more money to make sure the funds came back on quicker, so the retirement funds could be undepleted and make sure that it was fully sustained again. So that retirement can have a full sustained retirement when they retire.
That's terrific. And listen, I look forward to working on this universal free school lunch issue. And
yes.
I hope that we get this legislation passed.
Yes. Real quick, though, before you go, real quick, I know it was because of like 2 or 3 things. Real quick, school corps of guards. We got full-time school corps of guards. Nowhere in the city, nowhere in the country has that. First time ever we have full-time corps of guards as well. Just so the public knows that as well. Full-time corps of guards, we have that as well.
That's
called level twos, corps of guards.
Anything else you want me to know?
You got the corps of guards. We have money for SAPIS, substance abuse specialist interventions, making sure that these kids weed off drugs and stay off drugs. We legislate money for SAPIS workers, SAPIS counselors.
And that's really important. There really is a serious, serious substance abuse problem taking
very
place.
Very serious. Very serious. So we took hit on that. Boots on the ground, went to Albany, got hearings, testimonials. We was able to get some more money from the state, and even had the city to match it. So that was very good as well. So many different things have happened as far as this administration has done in the last 2.5 years. And we're not done yet. We're aggressively moving forward. We're trying to make things happen. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, but we're here, and we're making sure that we're here to do what we got to do as far as what the people sign me up for.
Local 372 President Sean DeFrancois, sir, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you. Everybody at City Hall, 3 o'clock p.m. today. See you later.
Okay. Take care. We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is the State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're on Sundays at 8 p.m. and we rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also now a podcast. You can download us on the iTunes podcast application. Search for DC 37 State of the Union. Our guest now is New York State AFL-CIO President Mario Cilento. Welcome to State of the Union, sir.
Chris, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, we wanted to talk about, you know, in November, voters are going to be asked whether or not there should be a constitutional convention. And there is all sorts of issues around that. And wanted to talk a little bit about that today. So let's just get right into it. The Constitutional Convention is going to do what?
Well, the Constitutional Convention, it's a ballot question that comes on the ballot every 20 years in this state. It says, shall there be a convention to revise the Constitution and amend the same? Basically, what it does is this. It opens up the Constitution in the state of New York, meaning that you can you would bring together delegates from across the state to either add amendments to the Constitution or take things out of the Constitution. Let's go over the process. The ballot question comes up in the year 2017, so 6 months from now it'll be on the ballot on Election Day. If it fails, and as a labor movement we are working to ensure that it fails,
yes.
Then it goes away for 20 years. Our Constitution says we must ask this question every 20 years. The last time was in 1997, and we were able to defeat it. If it passes, in 2018, delegates are elected to the convention at a general election. You'd have three delegates to the convention elected by voters in each of the 63 Senate districts. So that's 189 delegates, plus 15 at-large delegates. So you'd have 204 total delegates. In 2019, a convention would take place. It starts the first Tuesday of April, and it remains in session until business is completed. I don't think it can be less than 6 weeks, but it goes on until all business is finished. Any changes brought that are voted on by the delegates at the convention then must be brought back to the general electorate in 2020. And at that point, you either vote up or down on the amendments. They can be done all on one ballot, or you can bring them separately. That's a long way of saying, Chris, it would take three years to, in fact, change the Constitution when, in fact, there's already a process in place to change the Constitution that doesn't cost the taxpayers of the state or the citizens of the state a dollar. It won't cost you anything. We just passed a constitutional amendment a few years ago on casino gaming in this state. That was 3 years ago. In fact, the irony is that there is going to be a proposed change to the Constitution on the ballot this year, the very same time on whether or not they're asking us to have a constitutional convention to change the Constitution. There's a proposal on the ballot that would, it's called a pension forfeiture piece for elected officials who are accused of or convicted of wrongdoing. Anyway, point being, on the very ballot this year, when you're asking to have a constitutional convention to change the convention, there's already, the process is already being shown to be in place. A bill has to pass, or a proposal has to pass two separately elected legislatures and then go to the general public for a vote. That's how you change the Constitution in the state. It has been changed there have been changes to the Constitution several hundred times over the last century. So for the labor movement, it's very, very simple. We have some of the strongest labor protections in the state constitution of any state in this country. And that is why the labor movement in this state is so adamantly opposed to a constitution. Let's go over it. For public sector workers, public employee pensions cannot be diminished in this state. Let me say that again. If you are a retiree of a public sector union, your pension cannot be diminished. The pension that you retire with the day that you retire is the pension that you get for the rest of your life. Okay, so pensions are protected if you're a public sector worker. There are civil service protections, and we know that very well here in New York City for sure, but public sector protections within the state constitution. If you're a building trades worker, prevailing rate on public works projects are written into the Constitution. Prevailing rate is written into the Constitution. Prevailing rate is the lifeblood of building trades workers throughout this state. It is in the Constitution. For all other workers, for every worker, workers' compensation, anyone who's ever been injured on the job, workers' compensation is part of the Constitution, written into the Constitution. Unemployment insurance, anybody who's been unfortunate enough to have lost their job for any period of time, unemployment insurance is written into the Constitution. The 8-hour workday, things we take for granted, the 8-hour workday, the 40-hour work week, and the right to collectively bargain are written into the Constitution. So the point of the matter is this. Things are volatile, I would say, to say the least, in this day and age. And there's no reason for anyone to take a chance on having a constitutional convention that would even have the opportunity, or let anyone have the opportunity, to take those rights away from working men and women in the state. And that's why the New York State AFL-CIO, all 2 million members that we represent, and the 3,000 unions that we represent in this state, are working day and night, and will work day and night over the next 5 months to make sure that a constitutional convention does not take place. I mean,
you mentioned at the beginning the process. You described the process, and the first thing I thought of is, wow, that's going to cost a lot of money, and that means taxpayers are going to have to pay for this. What you're describing as an unnecessary process, given
that's a great point, Chris. You know, projections are somewhere in the $200 to $300 million range of what it would cost to run a convention, when in fact, again, be clear, there is already a process in place to change the Constitution. So you hear from all these different groups, let's do this. We'll have a Constitution, and we'll make all these changes, and we want all these, whatever it is, drain the swamp, all these crazy things you hear. Well, you can do that now. When you elect delegates to the convention, most likely the delegates to the convention will be those who are already in office now, because they have high name recognition. So elected officials who are in office now most likely will make up 75, 80, 90% of the delegates who will take, for the convention. So, again, $300 million, let's see, we can use that for our hospitals, our education system, our schools, transportation system. We can use it for law enforcement, our firefighters. We can use it for certainly infrastructure projects. There are a whole lot of things this state can do with $300 million. Certainly, we shouldn't be spending that money on a process that already exists.
And 20 years ago, we did not. We pushed back against this successfully, if I recall correctly. There has not been a constitutional convention in the state of New York for a number of years.
There hasn't been a constitutional convention, and this is going to sound off, since 1967, and that's because the legislature, it was voted on to actually have it. So 97 was the last vote, and it's on the ballot every 20 years. Again, 97, times were different. Yes, we were able to defeat it. Usually what happens, Chris, is that when people first hear about a constitutional convention, and again, right now, not many people even know that it's coming up. So there's an educational campaign that we're putting forth right now to our members. But keep in mind, people hear a constitutional convention and they think, yeah, this is great. This is our time to speak out and we can do a lot of different things. But when they recognize all of the protections that are in the Constitution, as you educate people and alert them to what is actually protected within the Constitution, their minds change very quickly. So by the time you get to the beginning of the campaign, when you start the political campaign season, people are for it 60, 70%. You'll see numbers, 60 or 70% in favor. By the time the process is over with, you usually have, as we did in 97, I think that the final ballot was around 53 or 54% opposed, and we were able to beat it back. But I do want to say one thing.
Yep.
Times are different. And we've seen all the upheaval in this country. We see what's going on in Washington. There are many more moneyed interests who are, or seemingly, involved in bringing a constitutional convention to the state of New York. This did not exist 20 years ago. We didn't have all the political upheaval across this country as we see today. So this is going to be a very tough fight. The labor movement will be vigilant in fighting against this and making sure that we protect all the rights and protections for working men and women in this state, whether you're union or not. Everyone every working person has a real stake in voting no on a constitutional convention in November.
We keep urging folks to connect the dots, to understand the forces that are out there and the very adamant anti-worker, anti-union forces that have taken, they've taken the courts and they've taken state houses, and they do not have the interests of working people atop their agenda. And it's to understand how those dots are connected and to understand how what's happening in Wisconsin is connected to what's happening in New York, or what could happen in New York, because these forces are national, these forces are deep-pocketed, and these forces do not believe in moving forward with a positive agenda for working people.
Right, and that's what we have to be very much aware of. You know, you brought this up, you touched on it. There's Supreme Court cases that are pending, a Janus case that would basically eliminate or attempt to eliminate the voice of public sector unions in this country. We have 27 states that are now right-to-work states, which is basically the attempt to silence the voice of all unions in those states. We have elected officials on a federal level who speak about repealing, say, Davis-Bacon, which, again, speaks to prevailing rate. In other words, you're right, Chris. There are forces across this country who are working to silence the voice of working men and women. And what we say here in New York is this. We have 2.5 million members. We have 3,000 local unions. One out of every 7 union members in the country comes from the state of New York. That we cannot and we will not allow those forces to win here. We have much too much at stake, and we also recognize that we really do have, you know, with those numbers comes great responsibility, and we do have a leadership role as a movement in this country right here in the state of New York, where we go, the rest of the labor movement goes. You know, last year we passed a $15 minimum wage in this state. We passed a paid family leave bill in this state. Really, two historic pieces of legislation. Since those pieces of legislation were passed in New York, we get calls from other state labor federations across the country talking about how do you do that? How can we get that done? What are your thoughts? What are your ideas? So we have a responsibility not only to our members here, but we have a responsibility here to union members across the rest of the country to fight to protect the labor movement. And I say this to you as humbly as I can, Chris, we will do that.
Mario Salento is the president of the New York State AFL-CIO. This is the first time you've been on this show, and I certainly hope it is not the last. Thank you very much for laying out quite eloquently and quite forcefully what's at stake for all working people in the state of New York when it comes to a constitutional convention.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the time, and I appreciate the invitation, and I look forward to joining you again in the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
That's about all the time we have on the show today. I just want to make a couple of quick announcements that in November we should vote no. This is on the ballot, this question about a constitutional convention. We also have the Safety and Health Department of DC 37 is sponsoring 3 training projects on the New York State Safe Patient Handling Law and its impact on employees of the Health and Hospitals Corporation. To register for details on the workshops held at 5 hospitals throughout the city, please call 212-788-3360. This is State of the Union. If you've got any comments on anything you heard on this show, please contact us at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. And we also have want to remind you all that we are now a podcast. You can just go to your iTunes and go to your podcast app, and you can search for DC 37 State of the Union. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Manocchio. I am Chris Policano. Enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Until next time, ciao.